This podcast is from Sunday the 25th of October. Hi everyone, I just want to welcome you to our online service this evening. And it's lovely to see people joining us just now, and a few hellos from Milma and Jen, and a few others coming on YouTube as well. We had a service in the church building today for the second time only since March, and it was great to see a few more folks joining with us today. And it was a joint service between Mount Cook and Greenock East End, which was fantastic, and just to be able to meet together once again. And our next service in the church is going to be on the last Sunday in November. You will have to book for that if you would like to come along, and you'll be able to do that at the beginning of that week, either by telephoning the house here or by booking online on Eventbrite. And I'll put there'll be plenty of publicity about that beforehand. But in between times, we'll have our online service, and as usual, next Sunday, we'll return to our 12 o'clock time for our online worship for the next three Sundays until the end of November. A couple of other wee things just to mention before we begin our time of worship. Usually around this time of year, we collect shoeboxes for Operation Christmas Child, and I think the past few years we've had round about 120, 130 boxes, and they get sent away. And the idea is that each family fills a box, or sometimes more than one box, and it's usually for a child of a certain age. It could be age 5 to 8, or 8 to 11, or a younger child. And you fill out that box as a Christmas present for them. Now, these boxes go to kids that perhaps have had nothing at Christmas before. So it's a lovely gift to give to them, and also it's a way of us expressing God's love to them and to their family as well at Christmas time. In the circumstances at the moment, we would normally collect the boxes in the church, but we can't do that at the moment. But if anybody would like to do a shoebox, you're more than welcome to deliver that to if you drop it off at our house. I can't remember the exact date when they have to be in. I think it's around about the 15th of November, but I will confirm that on Facebook. I'll put a post up with all the details. The other alternative is if you want to simply give a donation, you can do that as well, and Operation Christmas Child will pre-pack a box for you and send it on your behalf. That's the other way that you can do that as well. But if you would like to do a box, you've got a couple of weeks to hand it in to here at the manse, and just message me on Facebook if you want to know where to drop it off. So we're ready to begin our time of worship, and we're going to begin with a hymn, and feel free to sing along. It's one of the advantages of doing the online services compared to the services in church at the moment. We aren't able to sing together, which is really strange, but when you're in your own home and you're listening to music, we know that we're all singing together. So this is How Great Thou Art.
God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and see the blue and feel the gentle then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, oh, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Of God his Son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Okay, we're just going to join together in prayer, and wherever you are, when you're watching at home, we're just going to gather together. Although we're separated by distance, as we bring our prayers to God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather as your people across Greenock, across Inverclyde, across other nations in the world, for folks listening in, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon our time of worship. As we take time out of our day to remember this Lord's Day is your day, and we bring our praise, our worship, our thanksgiving. And Lord, we just ask that as we are reminded of who you are, that you would speak powerfully once again into our lives. Lord, as we read the scriptures, as we sing your praise, that we would hear the gospel once again, that the gospel would work its power in and through our hearts and minds to draw us closer to you, to magnify Jesus, and to fill us with your hope. And so, Lord, we come to give thanks for who you are and all that you have done for us. And we thank you for Jesus, your Son, who was given for us, giving his life on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, and so that we might have everlasting life, so that we might begin a new life here on earth with Jesus. And that new life would continue into eternity. We thank you that Jesus rose again from the dead, that he is alive, and that he sits at the right hand of the Father, and that he will come again just as he promised. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our guide, our helper, our strength, the one who empowers us and enables us to follow Jesus, the one who gives gifts to his children and helps us to serve Jesus in the world and in the church. And Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon everyone watching and listening today. Lord, these are challenging times that we live in, and we need to hold on to you more than ever. So Lord, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit. Give us strength. Increase our faith. Help us to persevere when things are hard. And Lord, fill us with your hope and the peace that passes all understanding. And so wherever we are now, we pray together the church family prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught his first disciples, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. We're going to hear a Bible reading from Isaac, and there's been lots of comments from folks recently. They love to hear Isaac doing a Bible reading. He does have a lovely voice, and is very gifted at doing this. And so we have a Bible reading from Isaac, which is from the first letter of John, chapter 5. If you want to follow in your own Bible at home, feel free to do so. And then we're going to sing together, Bless the Lord, O My Soul.
1 John 5, verses 1 to 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know that we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a it's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name, sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before,
I'll worship Your holy name. Okay, our second reading from the Bible is from the Gospel of Matthew tonight, and it's Matthew chapter 21, and I'm going to be reading from Matthew 21 and verse 28 if you want to follow along, if you have a Bible at home, but I will put the words up on the screen as I'm reading. So Matthew chapter 21. Jesus said, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, 'I will, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? 'The first,' they answered. Jesus said to them, 'Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. Amen. Now, if you've been following our messages over the last few weeks, we've been looking at parables of Jesus. And the parable I've chosen tonight really goes together with another parable which follows on in the Gospel of Matthew, which is the parable of the tenants. And I'll deal with that one next week. But the two are both closely linked together. And one of the things to understand when we read this passage is where Jesus was when he actually taught this parable. Well, the section before this in the Gospel of Matthew, we're told that Jesus is in the temple in Jerusalem. The Pharisees, which is a particular religious group in Judaism at that time, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. So the religious leadership of Israel was there in the temple, and they were listening to what Jesus was teaching. And they start to question Jesus' authority. By what authority do you do these things? In other words, what he teaches and the miracles that he was performing. They were questioning his validity. And so Jesus then moves into this parable, and they are obviously listening in or overhearing this as Jesus is teaching his own disciples. And it's a story about two sons and a father who asks his sons to go and do a job for him. He owns a vineyard, and he asks them to go and do some work for him. So the father asks the first son, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." And the boy says, "I will not." But later he changed his mind. And then he goes to the other son and says the same thing. And he answers, "Yes, I'll do it." And yet he didn't go. So we have two sons. One who did what his dad had asked him. He went into the vineyard. But initially he said no. He said he wasn't going to do it. But he had a change of mind. Something happened, he changed his mind, and in the end he did what his father had asked him to do. The second son said yes, but in the end he didn't do what his father had asked him to do. Now, I can imagine these two brothers, maybe at times they fought or argued. And I can imagine the first son saying to the second son, "Oh, you're just a goody-two-shoes," or that he was his dad's favourite, or all that, those sorts of things, because he appeared to be doing the right thing all the time. And maybe the first son was the one that always got into trouble. But in this instance, it's the first son who actually does what his father asks him to do. And Jesus turns this whole thing around and he asks a really important question. He says, which of these two did what his father wanted? And the people listening say, well, it was the first one, obviously. And then Jesus says to them, well, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. And I think here he's obviously perhaps pointing at or looking at the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And what did he mean by this? Why would it be that people who were considered sinners in Jewish culture, publicans, prostitutes, that these people were considered sinners and perhaps the last to enter God's kingdom? But Jesus is saying that these people are entering God's kingdom before the religious leaders. To enter God's kingdom is to be where God rules and reigns to live in a place of obedience to God, to experience the blessings of God, the salvation of God, the love of God, the grace of God. That's what the kingdom of God is. And whenever you see Jesus preaching and teaching and lives changed and transformed, Jesus says, there's the kingdom of God. Whenever somebody's healed of a sickness or a child is raised from the dead, there is the kingdom of God. So it's wherever God is at work and wherever God is changing lives. And Jesus says to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you are missing it here. There are other people that perhaps you look down upon are getting into the kingdom of God before you. And that's what Jesus goes on to say at the end of this passage. And he says, for John came to show you the way of righteousness. In other words, John the Baptist. And you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. So here Jesus is reminding them that Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, was his authority was questioned by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They didn't believe that he was a real prophet of God. And King Herod, the king of Israel at that time, and to be king in Israel was actually not just in the same way as somebody as a president or a prime minister. The role included there was a spiritual element to it as well. So being king of Israel, you were a spiritual leader in the land. And we're told that the King Herod at that time was having an affair with his brother's wife. John the Baptist points this out. He points out the errors of the Pharisees as well. And they obviously hate him for it. And so John is thrown into prison, then eventually he is beheaded, he loses his life. And they don't listen to him. So why on earth would they listen to Jesus as well? And so as they rejected John, now they are rejecting Jesus. And other people are getting into the kingdom of God before them. And we have to ask, well, why? Why? What is more important to God? Well, the answer is in the parable, at the very beginning of this passage. Jesus says there's two sons. One answered his dad, I'm not going to do it. And that is like perhaps the people that were considered sinners, the prostitutes, the publicans, the people on the outside of the society at that time who perhaps wouldn't have been welcome in the synagogue, who perhaps didn't feel worthy to enter the temple in Jerusalem. That they are the people who perhaps, maybe they start out on the wrong road, but they change their mind. They have a change of mind and they do what God wants them to do. And then the other son is the one who should know better. He's the one who knows God's commandments. He is the one who knows God's law, but he doesn't do it. And that's why Jesus is exasperated with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, because they should know better. They know the scriptures better than anybody else. They should recognize who Jesus is, that he is the Christ, that he is the Messiah, God's chosen king, to bring salvation to the Jews and to the whole world. But they reject him. They have him handed over to be crucified by the Romans. And it's a terrible tragedy. To see when, you know, sometimes we, you know, in the media tend to be focused on bad news rather than good news. And so we always hear about a celebrity or some famous person who's gone down a bad road. And, you know, maybe they're, involved in all sorts of things that is leading them down a road of destruction. And it's all over the media, it's all over the newspapers and TV and Facebook. And the media likes to, you know, well, it sells papers, basically. It sells TV advertising. But perhaps what is not reported so often is when somebody who perhaps has lived that way has a change of mind, and they turn their life around and start following God. And of course, the other scenario is true as well. It's that the person who appears on the outside to be religious and has an outward appearance of holiness, could be a religious leader or somebody who publicly has said that they are a person of faith, that they are a Christian, they're a religious person, and then all of a sudden they do something stupid and their reputation is out the window. And we've seen that story so many, many times before. But here in this parable, it's the person who has the bad reputation, the boy who perhaps has always said no to his dad, who ends up being the one who does what is right, who does his father's will. There's a famous musician some of you may have heard of, a musician called Alice Cooper. He's been in the music business for, I think, 40 years now, and he's still going strong at the moment. He's probably best known for his theatrics and the way that he dresses. He always used to wear black makeup on his eyes, and I think in his heyday caused consternation for many parents whose teenage children were listening to Alice Cooper. And the name is a female name, but apparently I think the name Alice Cooper was the name of a witch. I think that's where he got the name from originally, but it's a stage name. And he was into all sorts of theatrics in his concerts and shows. And there was a darker side to his music and his lyrics. And apparently he grew up the son of a minister, a Methodist minister. And in his teens, he walked away from the Christian faith. He wanted to be a rock star, heavy metal singer. That's what he did. And about 30 years later, he had a change of mind. He had done everything. Drugs, alcohol, women, the temptation of money. He'd done it all. But he came back to faith in Jesus Christ. And he continues to serve Jesus and talks about Jesus openly, even at his concerts and when he's being interviewed. And it's wonderful to see. There's another man, perhaps not quite so well known, another heavy metal singer from the 1980s called Blackie Lawless. And he tried to outdo Alice Cooper in being even more bad than he was. And even to the point that his records were actually banned in America for at least 10 years before they allowed them to be sold in the shops because the lyrical content was so offensive. And his concerts were so offensive. The band were actually not allowed to play in certain cities. He played with a band called Wasp. And this man also, just 5 years ago, came to faith in Jesus, and he was a pastor's son. And he had walked away from the Christian faith. And like Alice Cooper, he'd done it all. He'd done cocaine. He'd paid for prostitutes. He talks about this openly now. And he came to faith in Jesus. And he was so, it's actually very moving to hear his testimony, because he's so sorrowful for all that he put his parents through and all that he must have put God through as well, in the way that he lived for all those years. For 30 years he lived that way and came to faith in Jesus. And now he speaks openly about Jesus in his concerts and his songs. You can see it in the lyrics of his songs. He's still writing music. And both him and Alice Cooper have met together. I believe they've even prayed together. And the other person in the trio, which is still very famous, who's that very much that style of music, is Marilyn Manson, some of you will have heard, whose music, in my opinion, is, and I like heavy metal, but his music is evil. There is no way of getting around that. The lyrical content is evil. It's satanic. But these two guys are praying for him. And who knows, one day, Alice Cooper, Blackie Lawless, and Marilyn Manson may all have given their lives to Jesus Christ. And that is the story of the two sons. The ones who had rebelled completely, the ones who had made a complete mess, but in the end had turned around and turned towards God. That's what repentance means. It's turning around, having a change of mind, a change of heart, and turning towards God. And God can do that for anyone. The gospel is powerful. God's love is powerful to change any life. And it doesn't matter what you may have done. Anybody listening today, maybe you think, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the kind of life I've led. But God knows. God already knows. And God still loves you. God loves you. He gave his son for you. And it's never too late to turn back to him. But there's a twist in this story, and there's a warning as well. For those of us who perhaps haven't lived that life, when I grew up in church, I don't think I went through a rebellious period at all, really, as a teenager. I had a few wobbles in my 20s, but by and large, I've always attended church. I've never not believed. But that can be a dangerous place as well, because we can get into a place of complacency and self-righteousness. And that's what Jesus was warning the Pharisees and the teachers of the law about. It's okay to say yes to God, but if we don't do what he commands us to do, then we're not really in fellowship with him. We are not really following Jesus as we ought to. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean in all cases that we're not in God's kingdom. You know, for everyone who's a saint, everyone who's a follower of Jesus, we all have times when we stumble and we trip up and we fall and we make mistakes. But if we continue on that path as the Pharisees and the teachers of the law did, then we are on a road to destruction, and that's what Jesus warns us against. Will we pray together? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the teaching of Jesus in this parable. A simple story about two brothers, two sons, who were asked by their father to do some work for him. One who said yes, but didn't do it. The other who said no, and then in the end did obey his father. This story speaks so powerfully into our lives, whether we have grown up in church, have never not believed in God, or never stopped following Jesus, or whether we are someone who realizes at this moment that we are lost, that we are far away from God. Lord, I pray that this story would speak powerfully into all of our lives, and that every single person would know and experience your love and your grace wherever they are tonight, and would take that step, if need be, to repent of either sin or to repent of self-righteousness. And Lord, may the story continue to speak to all of us, to keep us humble, to keep us close to you. Amen. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all now and always. Amen. Well, thank you everyone for watching tonight, and we'll be here next Sunday, but at 12 noon, usual time, 12 noon, and we'll probably have a Zoom coffee time afterwards as well. If you're on Facebook, have a little look out for more details about shoeboxes just before you go. Sheila had just reminded me that we actually have some pre-printed boxes. And with these, all you have to do is, if you would like one of these, if you don't have a shoebox and you want to collect them, you can collect them here from the manse. And if you message me, I'll give you the details for how to get these. Okay, so take care, everyone, and good night, and hopefully see you next Sunday. Right, bye now.